Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Roost Podcast. As always, I'm Carter Spires here with my co-host, the owner and managing editor of the Roost, Matthew Bartlett. We are back this week to talk a little defense with y'all. So we're going to be going through the depth chart on that end of the ball. We had hoped to do this last week, but some minor technical difficulties caused us to lose the recording. So we're back at it for take two this week. Hopefully it'll be even better since we got a practice run at it last time.
Yeah, there you go. Rice fight never dies.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that how it works? Sometimes it takes a second try, maybe a third, fourth, but we'll get it done. We got practice and plenty of good things to get to today. So as Carter said, hitting through defense. And as we mentioned with the previous ones that we've gone through, especially with these positional breakdowns, we have a lot more information than we can get to in an hour on the podcast in the Roost Rice football season preview. So you can go pick that up at theroost.com/shop if you haven't yet. We keep harping on it because it really is worth your time, and it's going to go a lot deeper than anything we're going to be able to get to now. So we'll try and give you the high notes and the cliff notes, and we'll think you enjoy it, but always more to be found.
Definitely. So before we get started going through the depth chart, there is one position in particular that we'll give kind of an update on as we get to. But any interesting practice notes from the last week or so that jump out at you that you want to share?
At least on the defensive side of the ball, it's kind of steady state to a degree of what we saw in the spring. So the spring was very much so dominated by the defense, with the offense having some good days here and there, and that's kind of been how, for the most part, fall camp has been. There's been some great plays, particularly by the front seven, and the secondary has been continuing to progress well. So the offense has had their days, but as a whole, so far, you know, it's hard to tell when you're playing yourself. So either the offense is really, really struggling, or the defense is that good. And so I'm tending to hope that it's somewhere in the middle, but we've seen a lot of good stuff out of first and second team on defense. So I think there's a lot to be optimistic for and a lot to break down on this side of the ball. So I don't know if there's one or two guys in particular that have really flashed outside of, you know, we'll get to DeBraylon Carroll, freshman on the defensive line that is just wrecking shop. But by and large, it's been a good fall, and kind of everybody is on track or ahead of schedule, which is good to see.
All right. So speaking of, we will get started with the defensive line. We'll start outside and work our way in. So we'll start with the ends, and we'll start with the what is just listed by Rice as the defensive end. This is the strong side end position, which is generally going to be when the offense has a tight end on the field. This player is going to be on the side with that tight end, and I mean, they're definitely, you're always going to want pass rush from your edge guys, certainly, but this one in particular is going to be trusted to be a guy who can really hold the edge against the run game, because, you know, a lot of times when you have a tight end on the field, you're going to be expecting runs to that side. So this is going to be a guy who's, you know, needs to be a player who can kind of do both things in terms of run defense and pass defense, really a mix of those responsibilities, and to set that edge hard to keep runs from getting outside. And starter here, we're probably looking at Trey Schumann, who is a redshirt sophomore who had some, I believe, was injured a little bit last year, right? And
series of nicks and bumps along the way. Kind of hard for him to ever get going into a rhythm.
Right. But it looks like he kind of sees that job in the spring and is ready to hold it down.
Yeah. And he's a redshirt sophomore, which on most college football teams puts you kind of in the middle of the pack as far as seniority. But on this team, with as young as Rice is, he is one of the vocal leaders in the defensive line room. So he's kind of stepped in and kind of filled the void left by some of the guys that are departing on the defensive line, and has had a really good fall camp. Some of the things that he does really well, he is just a really cerebral guy and understands the scheme really well and knows where he's supposed to be. So he's one of the guys that'll get in your face and be able to shed the block and get in the backfield quickly. So especially on the end position, we're looking to someone to set that containment and make sure no big plays are going to develop. He's the kind of guy that can get in there quickly and kind of diffuse some of those big threats. So he is the clear-cut starter, which you know, there's only a handful of guys at this point that, you know, aren't facing a legitimate challenger to some degree. So he's got the defensive end job locked up to himself, and he's had it since spring and is progressing really well.
And then the primary backup in that position is Miles with an I, Adams. We will talk about Miles with a Y, Adams, a little bit more as we get to the interior of the defensive line. Yet they couldn't even have the decency to play on decent sides of the ball. We had to get Miles Adams and Miles Adams both playing on defense and both playing on the defensive line.
Just to make it more difficult for people trying to write about
Of course.
Or talk.
So Miles with an I is the primary backup at this spot. Does it look like he's going to be getting into the rotation, or are he more of a true backup kind of guy?
So we'll see. Right now, it's probably going to be mostly Schumann that's getting most of snaps, but Rice likes to play and shuffle in as many guys as they can trust. So Jacob Doddridge is another guy. He converted from fullback during the spring and has been splitting time at the backup position at defensive end. So it's been him and Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Adams, kind of rotating back and forth there. So I don't know if there's a clear-cut number two at the position, but Rice will have a couple guys and probably some freshmen coming in, maybe Joshua Piercy, something like that, that'll kind of hopefully get some minutes, maybe a red shirt here and there behind them. But it's going to be mostly Schumann.
So then at the other end spot, which Rice helpfully tends to list as the rush end spot, obviously this is one that's going to be going to tend to line up a little wider and really be the focus of the game for them is going to be as a pass rusher. So we have Anthony Ekpe at this spot who was, I think, the most sacks for Rice last year. He had three sacks against North Texas, and then kind of defense or offenses started to realize that, you know, he was a guy who could cause some problems, and kind of got neutralized a little bit as offenses focused more attention on him. It looks like we could also see some good competition, some rotation at that spot from Kenneth Orji, the redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those positions where I expect multiple guys to really see a good amount of snaps. Ekpe, like you mentioned, he was almost schemed out to a degree in several games last year because his one thing that he did really, really well was getting to the quarterback. And so once that North Texas game hit, everyone else kind of started paying attention and making sure that new third down, where's Ekpe? So he's kind of added a little bit more to his game and is more of the three down player that Rice was hoping he would turn into. So redshirt junior, been around, knows what he's doing, is a very talented football player, and is not going to come off the field as much. And actually, we could see Orji come on and join him in some instances as we try and get more pressure on the quarterback, which is something that Rice, you know, really struggled to do last year. So Ekpe is going to keep doing what he was doing and very well could lead the team in sacks again. But Orji's another guy that, you know, if Ekpe has the speed, the finesse off the edge, then Orji's going to run you over. So his motor is nonstop. And that's the kind of guy, especially if you have Ekpe playing the majority of downs, that you can bring in Orji on a third down and just say go. So that's kind of the role that Ekpe almost filled last year. So Ekpe taking the next step with Orji coming in behind him, that's going to be as good of a 1-2 punch as Rice is going to have on the defense, especially the line.
Yeah, and just to tack on there, you know, this is, you know, you could probably tell just by the way Matt's talking about these two, but there are some spots on the field where, you know, you get this late into the preseason and you still kind of have a competition, or you have guys rotating where it's kind of a worry because it means one guy hasn't really separated himself and you know, you want somebody to kind of nail down the position and be the undisputed starter. But positions on the defensive line in particular, you know, this is an area where you really need to have depth because it's really ideal to play a rotation of guys. It's not like quarterback or something where you want to have one guy come in and be the guy. You know, these guys tend to be some of the biggest guys on the team, not necessarily the rushman, but defensive linemen in general will be among the biggest on the team, and they are going full out every snap. And it like, I don't care how conditioned you are, I don't care how good your strength coach is, guys are going to get tired and they're going to have to rotate in and out. And it's so much better. And it keeps you fresher so much deeper into games when you can really rotate guys. And this seems to be a spot where it's going to be good for Rice to that they have the depth that they can bring these guys in and out. And Ekpe in particular, I rewatched the parts of the LSU game from last year, and I saw they were even, you know, this Russian is a bit of a hybrid outside linebacker spot, and they actually lined him up at a true off-ball linebacker position a couple times in that game. So he's a guy who's got a lot of versatility that they can move around and, you know, keep on the field when they want to move guys in and out.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, expanding his roles, that was something, especially standing out with his hands off the ground in space, is something that he kind of had to grow accustomed to. So we'll see a little bit of more of that in this fall. And then, you know, this is one of the positions where, like you said, with competition, it's pretty clear that Ekpe is going to be the one, but Rice has a very, very solid two. And, you know, some points they're trying to find a guy to start. At this point, they have a starter and they have a very, very capable backup, which is, you know, something Coach Calhoun on the defensive line is thrilled about.
All right, so let's move into the interior of the defensive line. So we've got two positions here. You will see them listed sometimes as the defensive tackle and the nose tackle. You might also hear them referred to as the three technique and the one technique. That language is a little opaque. It's not really easy to figure out just looking at it what exactly. All it means is, where does the guy line up? So the techniques for defensive linemen start in the middle, and the numbers get bigger as you go out. So a zero tech, the true nose tackle, and a 3-4 defense is lined up directly on the center. And then the one technique is the outside shoulder of the center, and then so on and so on. Go out there like a 3-4 defensive end is usually a 5 technique lined up right on the offensive tackle. So that's kind of what that language means. So that can be a little confusing at times. But starting at defensive tackle, the 3 technique, we have Miles with a Y Adams, who I believe is our only senior on the defensive line. So
he's really actually, if you go and look at the roster, there's, I think, 101 names on it. He's the only true senior on the roster. So not counting redshirt seniors or grad transfers, Miles Adam is the only true senior out of 101 people. So fun fact. Yeah.
I mean, I just think about, like, is there another senior in line to start on the defense? Maybe I'm forgetting someone right now, not looking at everybody listed out, but I don't think there is.
I'm thinking through a lot of the guys who came in and seized jobs last year were freshmen and sophomores. So upperclassmen that could be starting: Ekpe's redshirt junior, Blaze Aldridge, JUCO guy, another junior, D'Angelo Ellis. So there's a couple guys, but the fact that we're having to search for names is probably indicative of, you know, this is still a very, very young team with some talent and some guys who have seen a lot of football with that redshirt role, but very young. So Miles Adam, MY, is, you know, one of the veterans by a long while.
And he had, was the primary backup to Zach Abercrombie, I think, at that position last year. And in a backup position, had 5 tackles for loss, which includes 2.5 sacks and 2 forced fumbles, which is pretty good. That 3 technique spot, so you're lined up in the B gap, which is the gap between the guard and the tackle, and that's a playmaker position. You're really expected to shoot that gap and get into the backfield and make plays, whether that's, you know, tackling the running back for a loss, whether that's getting sacks, whether that's doing whatever. It's really a position where explosive playmaking defensive linemen really make their hay. So Rice is definitely going to be looking for some of that from Miles with a Y this year. There's some good depth at this position too. In particular, the one we want to highlight is DeBraylon Carroll, the true freshman out of Duncanville. This is a guy who is a little undersized classically for the position, but, you know, has come in over the summer and through preseason practice has just been one of the most impressive players, period, on the field, I think, and has already moved his way onto the second team. And even, I think you said, it's been getting some first team reps in goal line packages, right?
Yeah. How much time do we have, Carter?
For real. This is now a DeBraylon Carroll fan podcast.
DeBraylon Carroll season. Is that what the young folks are saying? Something like that. I guess we'll try and keep it under 20 minutes. But so DeBraylon Carroll, he's one of those guys. So 6 foot, I think, is his official listing. Maybe he's 5'10". I don't know. he's not very tall, but that really hasn't stopped him. And I think DeBraylon Carroll, what we're going to see from him this year is kind of indicative of Rice's recruiting strategy through the past two classes that Bloomgren and his staff have brought in. They're looking for talented athletes, guys who played and won at a high level and can excel at certain things at their position. And Carroll might not fit the prerequisite height that you'd like for a guy playing in the middle and be able to jump up and, you know, do the J.J. Watt bat the pass down. But the way he impacts the game is exceptional in other ways. And there's been times already throughout fall camp where he sat down on the bench because nobody can block him. He hasn't played a down of college football yet, but the graduate transfers and the offensive line this year, first team for Rice, is going to be pretty solid. I'm pretty excited about that. They've had trouble stopping him, and he's still at the point where he's very raw and learning the nuances and the speed of the college game. But his first step is so explosive and so physical that it's hard for even folks who know where he's going to be when the ball is snapped, he's in their faces. So this is kind of guy we talk about, freshmen forcing their way into the conversation. This is one of the guys that is going to be in the mix and starting at some point this season.
And regardless of, you know, this is an area where the designation starter almost doesn't even really matter, because this kid is too good to keep off the field. He is definitely not redshirting. He's going to play a lot, probably right from the very beginning. Actually, maybe they ought to, you know, we'll talk about Army a little more next week, but maybe they ought to keep him out against Army, because I don't want those triple option cut blocks going at his knees. Maybe we save him a little more for later in the season. But he's going to play a lot. And you're going to see this kid's name come up a bunch as far as playmakers on the Rice defense.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those guys that I had folks, you know, at media days and elsewhere, and said he's 6 foot. If he's 6'1", 6'2", he's starting at Baylor. If he's 6'3", he's starting at Texas. If he's 6'4", he's starting at Alabama. And and folks outside of Conference USA and outside of Rice that have no reason to blow smoke, it was pretty encouraging to see. And he was the MVP of Duncanville High School this year, and one of the best defenses in the state in the 6A division, and probably one of the best defenses that has been in high school football in Texas in the past several years, decades. So they were unstoppable. And this guy was, according to his own coach and his own team, the best player on that team. So the fact that Rice was able to get somebody of his caliber and is going to get him on the field quickly is going to be one of the biggest bright spots of a defense that has a lot of reasons to be optimistic. So like Carter was alluding to, this guy is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. And just a quick note on that height, you know, the funny thing there is, like, you know, a lot of schools have certain standards they set physically for each position. And there are definitely NFL teams that do that when they draft as well. But, you know, there are reasons for those, especially at a lot of positions. Like, you know, we'll talk about when we get to the corners, that Rice in this system is going to want bigger, longer corners who have, you know, better ability to contest jump balls and play press coverage and things like that. But when you're an interior defensive lineman, it's almost better to be shorter at times. Long arms can help because you can kind of engage guys before they get their hands on you. But it's really all about leverage on the inside of the trenches. And when you can get lower than the guy you're lined up across from, that helps you enormously in that battle. So it's interesting. It kind of shows almost a failure in the recruiting process for bigger schools, is, you know, you're knocking a guy who's playing defensive tackle is that he's too short. I mean, you know, maybe if he's like 5'5" or something, but like, you know, 5'11", 6 foot, like, there's a reason, you know, that's almost going to be an advantage at times. So, you know, I guess their losses
are to push people off the ball. And, you know, just for the record, Aaron Donald is 6'1", 6 foot.
Yeah.
I'm not calling DeBraylon Carroll Aaron Donald, but when folks have been trying to find a comp and a name to what kind of freaky talent does this guy have, that's the name that's been brought up. So let's not like christen him a first round pick and NFL defensive MVP quite yet, but height is a number. And if you have the impact on the field that we think this guy is going to have, people are going to stop caring about how many inches he has.
Definitely. All right, so we'll move to the other interior defensive line spot. That's the nose tackle or one tech. And this is where we actually have an update. For pretty much all of last year, Elijah Garcia was the starter at this spot. And in a lot of ways, because they just didn't have a lot of bodies there. But it looks like, after a competitive spring and now that we're basically through fall camp at this point, it looks like Javonte Hubbard has seized that starting spot at nose.
Yeah, and so I think at this point it's an encouraging sign because Elijah Garcia, like you mentioned, he didn't have a lot of competition last year, and one of those guys pushing him was Javonte Hubbard. But Javonte's thing was he just didn't have the consistency. It wasn't quite there to be knowing where he needed to be and what he was supposed to be doing on every single play. You know, as a freshman or a younger player, someone with less experience, there's some freedom to put you in the game and go. But the more you've been in this offense and the longer you've been in college football, there are expectations that you kind of are able to piece things together and understand your assignment and the calls and the changes. And so that's an area that Javonte has improved in through spring and in fall camp. And so Elijah's been fine and been good and been pretty consistent, but we've really seen Javonte's upside and his talent when he's got the middle side of the ball working are fantastic. And so he's getting to that point where that mental piece is catching up. So this is the kind of guy that is, you know, bull in the china shop, put him in the middle and he will take out multiple guys and free up guys, you know, like the Braylon Carroll, Miles Adams next to him to kind of get inside and do some damage and get to the quarterback. So I really like what I'm seeing from him.
And then another name to watch this spot is another true freshman. You know, we've said that it's really good that Rice isn't going to have to rely on as many true freshmen this year as they did last year. But, you know, to build that depth that you need on the defensive line, this is going to be one area where they're going to look to a couple true freshmen.
Yeah. And the other. I'll just jump in on the true freshman point. So last year, Rice played a lot of true freshmen because a lot of the best athletes and people who are capable to fulfill their roles were true freshmen. And not a knock on the guys who were there before him, but, you know, there was a talent and a culture gap that was being bridged to the point this year. Those guys are more experienced, and it's going to be more difficult for true freshmen to play and make as many starts and isn't playing as many games as they did last year. So when we talk about guys like Braylon and Isaiah being able to be a freshman this year that could see playing time, that's even more significant given the experience that guys had last year.
Right. And so, yeah, so this is Isaiah Floyd, who I think is the only true 300 pounder on this defense. He was a high school power lifter. So I think that tells you something right there about the kind of ability he brings. At that one tech spot, you're going to face a lot of double teams because you're lined up in between the guard and the center. And, you know, you're going to have some burly guys at those positions who are going to be coming at you. And you're really trying to take up space and occupy those guys so that the playmakers around you on the defense can make plays. And it may be a guy who has not ascended the depth chart quite as quickly as Braylon Carroll has, but probably a guy who's definitely going to be in that defensive line rotation sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and his only knock is that he's not Braylon Carroll. If Braylon Carroll was not on this defense, we would be talking about Isaiah Floyd and the kind of impact he was having. So he might not have that quite the first step burst that Braylon has, but this is a guy who squatted like close to 700 pounds, deadlifted 600, benched 410. Like one of these guys who is unquestionably, he showed up on campus and he was the strongest player on the team as a freshman. And he's spent the entire summer up to the fall in the weight room with Hans Straub and kind of been able to put some more finesse on those muscles. And he is powerful and divisive in the middle. So especially once the two of them, Braylon and Isaiah, are both in the mix together, you're looking at guys who can move mountains and create chaos, and they're both freshmen. So by the time we get to conference play, starter or not, both of these guys are going to be seeing a good amount of the field.
All right. So we'll take a step back, as in back off the ball, and move to the linebackers, which they've got some competition from the safeties, but I think you could pretty fairly call this the best position on the defense. You know, you're starting with a guy in Blaze Aldridge who came in as a JUCO last year and then midway through the season was starting. And I don't think it's hyperbole to call him the best player on the team, period. He's just he really plays like what you want out of a true off the ball linebacker, just flying around, covering side to side, both against the run and the pass, just making plays left and right, always seeking out and finding the ball and just giving 100% full speed effort on every single play.
Yeah. And he was one of the guys that at the end of last fall, once he got a starting job, was talked about as, you know, we really like what we're seeing from Blaze and he's coming along and, you know, we think he's really going to be an impactful guy. And then you watched him in the spring and he's blocking field goals after a full practice when everyone else is gassed and they're running an option or a pitch play to the flat and the guy gets tackled for a loss 3 yards behind scrimmage and there's Blaze and he was just everywhere. And Rice didn't have anybody drafted last year NFL draft wise, and like we talked about with there's some grad transfers and we got Miles Adams, so there's not going to be many seniors that were originally recruited here at Rice that are going to be in the mix. But Blaze is one of those guys that if someone is going to leave early and has the talent to be an NFL draft pick from this team, Blaze probably has the best chance, especially with, you know, another season starting, a full season starting under his belt. So, and you know, he's the kind of guy that he's so raw coming from junior college with so much ability, and he's getting so much smarter and stronger and faster that with two more seasons under his belt, you know, the potential for him is sky high. So unquestionably, the staff is most high on Blaze this year. And he's one of those guys that when folks were talking to me about, you know, because Rice didn't get anybody on any of the preseason teams for Conference USA, they said, who should have been on there that wasn't? And it was unquestionably Blaze. Linebacker is a really deep position in the conference, and Blaze is one of those guys that at the end of the year is going to be on those lists because he's not going to give anybody an excuse to be able to take him off of it. He's that dominant.
And then the other guy that will probably be on the field just about every play is Antonio Montero, who a similar story, except that he was actually a true freshman last year and then came in and was starting by the end of the year. And it's kind of like you said for DeBraylon and Isaiah, the only real knock against Antonio as far as what he brings to the linebacker position is that he is not Blaze Aldridge. I mean, I really think of him as a very similar type of player and that he's just constant, relentless effort and sideline to sideline coverage and really getting after the ball and making plays from that linebacker position. So yeah, he's going to be another one that's making a lot of plays this year. That's going to do a lot of good things for Rice.
Yeah. And you talk about relentless, you know, Rice had some big plays against the defense last season. And there were some issues in the secondary that, you know, are a work in progress, but Montero was one of the guys that, you know, once you see a 40-50 yard pass go over your head and you're on the linebacker, you're in the front seven, something like that, like there's nobody in the stands that's going to be yelling at you if you don't sprint full speed to chase someone down that you're probably not going to get to. But Montero was one of the guys that got himself onto the field by chasing that and running wide receivers down who had 20-30 steps on him because he's that relentless of a tackler. So as far as, you know, positional strength, if you look at Blaze and Antonio in the middle of this defense, and this is really a defense that for the most part is going to line up in some sort of 4-2-5, two linebackers on the field.
Yep.
For most of the snaps, at least true linebackers, there'll be some variations to that. So there, but it's going to be Antonio and Blaze, and that might be the strongest position group as a whole on the team, not just the defense.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, they've still got, you know, even if you know, you rotate these guys out a little bit, or if there are some nagging injuries, like you've got guys like Garrett Grammer, who joined the team as a long snapper, actually, but then had a great spring at linebacker, and Dylan Silcox, who was a starter last year at the start of the season and really was playing well until, you know, some injuries kind of ended up basically dropping him behind Blaze and Antonio, who really didn't give up those spots once they have them. But the depth here for a position where you don't, it's not, you know, you always want to have depth, but it's not as critical to have it at off ball linebacker, because you generally keep your top guys in there. But it's really nice to have that depth and know that you can trust the guys that would come in if ever anything happened to the top guys.
Yeah. And like you said, Silcox was a starter last year and has plenty of talent. And that's so Silcox started last year, and Garrett Grammer was called the most improved player on defense and at linebacker during the spring. And if you told me right now that Dylan Silcox and Garrett Grammer were the starting linebackers at Rice, I would say, okay, that's a good combo. It's not elite like Blaze and Montero, but if you're losing your top two guys and you're going to two guys that you trust implicitly to execute and to make the tackles, that's a really good position to be in. So hopefully Rice doesn't get to the point where they're losing their first two linebackers, but these are two guys that, you know, with Silcox, who's been there and done that, and if he can stay healthy, he should be fine. And Grammer has soared up the depth chart and technically sounds, he's been great. So a lot of confidence in this linebacker position. And as far as the younger guys, which won't hit on all of them, but this has been a position where you look at Myron Morrison and EJ Lalu, Garrett Braden, some of the freshmen that were brought in this class. They've been the ones kind of drawing the rave reviews. Ask anyone on staff or, you know, around the program, you know, who stands out to you? And it's a lot of guys, it's a young linebacker. So that puts Rice in a little bit of a good problem to have, because how do you put seven linebackers onto the field? you probably don't.
Yeah. Special teams.
Unless Brian Smith wants to get really creative. Yeah, so it'll be special teams. And so special teams, most special teams units are going to be primarily running backs, linebackers, guys who can move down the field quickly and lay some folks out. So we're going to see another guy we didn't even hit to, Jacquez Batley, sophomore, solid linebacker that is up there with Grammer and Silcox, and we'll play some of them in that mix. He has such quick feet and has been so good on special teams that he's going to be one of the primaries on just about every special teams unit there is. So you have him and a bunch of freshmen. This is a position that if there's going to be a handful of freshmen that don't redshirt because they're so valuable to the team, it'll be here. And that's a good thing, especially with just the maturation, and you have a lot of experience and a lot of depth.
All right, so moving between linebacker now to the secondary, we'll start by addressing the hybrid position, which in this defense is called the Viper. Just to give a little, we'll do a little schematic digression here to kind of explain this position, because it's not necessarily something that people who don't spend a lot of time looking at this stuff would understand. The Viper is somewhere between a safety and an outside linebacker and a nickel corner. And it's really kind of the answer to the question of how do you combat 11 personnel, which is really the most common offensive personnel grouping at all levels of football these days. That means one back and one tight end. And the reason that package is so popular is because it kind of gives you the best of both worlds in terms of play calling. You still have an extra blocker in the run game with the tight end, but you have three wide receivers, and hopefully in your tight end you have a good pass catcher as well, so you still have a lot of advantages in the pass game. And so there are different ways that you can go about, as a defensive coach, about matching this personnel package. And a lot of teams will just bring in a corner or some other kind of fifth defensive back as the guy to play in the slot and cover that third wide receiver and to match up that way. The problem with that, especially in college, is that you can still, there are a lot of teams that are really even spread teams that are really focused on running the ball out of that package. And so by taking out a linebacker and bringing in the defensive back, you really put yourself in kind of a conundrum. Now, if you're Nick Saban and all the corners you recruit are 6'2", 210 pounds, and can tackle like linebackers, you know, maybe that's not so much of a problem. But, you know, for other teams, it can you can be sacrificing a lot in run support if you just bring in a corner. So the answer to this in the Don Brown system that Brian Smith comes from is to play this position called a Viper, who's a guy who's kind of in between size-wise and skill-wise, who can bring you that coverage out of the slot and cover the short stuff, but also carry a receiver deep occasionally, but can also move around and do some things. They'll even rush the passer sometimes. They'll play short zone coverages. They'll do all kind of different things. It's as hybrid a position as you'll find on the football field. And the guy that starts there for Rice is a guy named Trayshon Chamberlain, who was another one of those true freshmen last year, who was too good to keep on the field, even enough to redshirt. So he's a sophomore now. This is a guy who will be on the field for Rice a lot, who will do basically everything. Like I said, he was a demon in the LSU game. I saw him make a play on a screen pass where he basically blew up LSU's tight end Foster Moreau, who's now in the NFL, blew through him on a block. And that's a guy who has probably 7 or 8 inches and about 50 pounds on Trayshon. So, yeah. So that's the kind of guy you're getting at this position.
Yeah. And finished with 10 tackles in that game against LSU, his career best. And so, like several of the freshmen last year, continue to get better and better and better and better with the more action he saw on the field. So that's encouraging from an optics standpoint. And then as far as where he fits in the pecking order with the safeties, so he is one of a handful of guys that has kind of separated themselves from the second team. And we'll get to the strong safeties and the free safeties and the guys there. But he's one of four guys that really isn't going to leave the field much at all. So we've seen behind him, Deshard Newsome, he's a redshirt junior. He's played a lot throughout fall camp, but mostly as a reserve and a backup player. And he's done well. But like you said, the versatility and the ability to do so many things and being so many places is something that it takes a special athlete to do. And so Trayshon has been one of those guys and done it consistently to the point where he's trusted to line up just about anywhere on the defense.
All right, we'll move to the true safeties now, and starting at the free safety position, I have to give a shout out to George Nyakwal, who is from my residential college, Jones, which is objectively the best residential college at Rice. Jones wins again. Sorry, these are just facts. George has been a starter for quite a while now. He's one of the most experienced players on the team, and really can do it all from the safety position. You know, he'll play. He'll be the center fielder in single high coverages. He'll play his half in two high coverages. He'll cover guys out of the slot, bump down. Because, you know, as we'll talk about when we get to the corners, Rice definitely feels better about the overall state and depth of its safeties than it does about the corners. I think that's fair to say. So in packages with more defensive backs, you will definitely see George kind of bump down and play some true one-on-one man coverage in some of those, like the dime package and things like that.
Yeah, because he's unquestionably one of the most versatile pieces. And, you know, you alerted to guys that have been there for a while. It's a rarity on the Rice defense just to have had several years of experience and being a starter. And he's one of the guys that, as younger players have come in, there's never really been a question that his spot was in jeopardy because he's been that consistent. So he's going to continue to be a rock, underrated player on this defense and in Conference USA that, you know, probably deserves more recognition than he gets and just is cerebrally sound and consistent and makes plays when he needs to and is where he's supposed to be, which is, you know, to be able to have someone like that at the back end of the defense that you can trust when things are breaking down is invaluable and has made him one of the most critical pieces to this defense and been impactful mentoring some of the younger guys that, you know, we get into at strong safety as well. He's been huge there.
Right. And moving on to strong safety, we have, you know, it says something when you have a guy who starts and plays as well as Purdy. So one of the candidates at this position is Purdy Calderon, who was another one of those excellent freshmen last year who they couldn't even redshirt because he was so good.
We're came saying in, that a lot.
Yeah. he came in and led the team in interceptions. He got the award for the top freshman on the team last year. Generally, you know, a guy you expected to be one of the leaders and one of the top players on this defense. And he's now being pushed for his job by Nyheim Smith, who came from JUCO this offseason. You know, it says a lot about the quality of a guy you brought in for him to come in over the summer and immediately push a guy who last year was maybe the top playmaker on all the defense.
Yeah, and I think this is something that, you know, maybe sitting casual football fan might not really pay as much attention to. But so Nyheim actually got here in the spring and was an early enrollee from junior college and was able to participate with all of spring camp and work through the summer and into the fall. And that extra experience is so huge, especially when you're looking at a scheme that has some of the wrinkles and the complexities that Rice does. So that in itself was huge for him. And then, like you said, Prudy had established himself and led the team in interceptions and was one of those guys that when Nyheim was recruited, I'm like, I don't know where you're going to play him because Prudy's not coming off the field. And now this is shaping up too. And I had a piece where I talked to both these guys on the site and just kind of got their perspective of what this battle looks like. And both are kind of at the point where they realize, you know, especially with the ability of guys like, you know, Treshawn and George, who can do a couple different things, being able to plug and play different pieces at this position has been really helpful for Rice as they compete throughout fall camp.
Yeah, and you're going to, you know, as much as teams in Conference USA like to, you know, line up 4 and 5 wide and toss the ball around, you're going to be in your dime package with 6 defensive backs a lot. And so you're, like I said, the Rice really feels good about the guys they've got at the safety position. So regardless of who is named the technical starter at this position, you are going to see both of these guys. You're going to see both of them a lot. And I think you're really going to see just the depth and the talent that Rice has at this position. This position is going to impress all year long. And that's a really good place for Rice to be in right now.
And especially once they get in situations where they're able to put both these guys on the field, because, you know, Purdy is that kind of true center fielder who can be in the middle of the field and make plays on the ball in the air. And that's what he did all last year. And he really excels at. Naeem's your run stopper. He's the guy that you kind of put in the box and he flies at the football and, you know, has some coverage game that he's, you know, learning and getting better at as well, but both kind of different pieces that in certain situations, you know, you want one guy in over the other, depending on what the offense is throwing at you and where you are at in the game. So, like you said, I don't know who's going to be listed as the official starter, but these are kind of two different guys that are both going to be in the field a lot, if not together, and going to be heavily utilized. And there's not really a downside to the point where I don't really know who I would prefer win the job, because I really like what both guys bring, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah. And just a quick preview for next week. You know, you just heard Matt talk about what an impressive player against the run Nyheim Smith is. Expect to see him a lot against Army, I think, because basically outside of the corners and even including the corners, everybody's job is to play the run against that offense. And even for that offense, that triple option, that flex bone, I think Army threw like less than 100 passes all of last year.
I'm skipping ahead. So if you have the preview, hint, you can pull up page, what are we at, 58, and look at returning starters and stats. Army's starting quarterback Kelvin Hopkins attempted 93 passes last year, completed 51 of them for 1,026 yards. So not going to see many attempts through the air.
So having guys who can play on the edge and fly aggressively, not too aggressively, because if you don't play your man, you're going to get burned, but who can play aggressively and play disciplined against the run on the edges is incredibly important against that offense. So, well, like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. On to our final defensive position, the cornerbacks. And this is definitely, for me, is a position to watch really for the whole team. I think I may have said that in our first episode, because this scheme really succeeding at it depends so much on the corners being able to kind of hold up on an island. You know, they've got to be able to just stick with receivers on the outside and not give up plays over the top, which unfortunately Rice did a lot last year. So it's really going to be interesting this year to see whether the corners they've got can make big improvements from last year and kind of reverse that trend of giving up the huge plays, because, you know, that just killed Rice last year. And it's really gonna have a big impact on the success or failure of the team if the corners can even just, you know, they don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be night and day, like just a solid step forward from the corners just to cut a big chunk of those plays out. You know, you're not going to get rid of them all, but just to cut some of those plays out would be such a huge thing. So it looks like the starters at this position to begin with, and we're really going to be, you know, for most college football teams, you know, like we've been talking about with the kind of personnel you want three or more corners who are really able to play. Like we've been talking about, I don't think that's quite as necessary for Rice, because they're really going to lean on the guys that they've got at safety. And they're going to play as many of those guys as possible, because those are their true playmakers in the secondary. But starting at the two positions that you're going to see in most packages for Rice, one, you've got Andrew Byrd, who is one of those redshirt freshmen from last year, who actually did not start until the final game of the season, played in the win against Old Dominion, started that game and looked pretty good. And then the other one is going to be probably D'Angelo Ellis, who played kind of on both sides of the ball and really is an athletic guy and a guy who has the ability to make some impressive plays. Looked great as wide receiver in the LSU game, for instance.
Yeah, he went up and high-pointed some balls over Greedy Williams, second-round pick. He can play the ball in the air. That's exciting.
Yeah, so it looks like those are probably going to be your two guys, but it's definitely a position of interest, one where you're really going to have to pay a lot of attention to that position. You know, that'll be a kind of a bellwether for what things can look like on Rice for Rice on that side of the ball this year.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to corner play. As much as the front seven has improved, we talked about guys, the defensive line and the linebacker are having fantastic fall camps and have great outlooks. You know, you look back at, you know, games like the Houston game and Hawaii, and just guys getting behind the secondary and beating corners was kind of the problem. And there was a point, even in the Houston game, where Rice had to turn to a scout team running back, and because guys were getting injured and nicked up, and say, hey, you go out there and you try and cover some of Houston's talented playmakers. Yeah. And that didn't work out so well. So for better or for worse, it's going to be a new look group at the position this year. Byrd he's emerged kind of the starter, the one so far throughout fall camp. He's been one of the guys that has just been consistently better and better each week. He's not one of the guys that I can really think of a moment or a play where he flashed and was like, whoa, but he was one of those guys that every practice he did something else good, and then consistently, you know, learned this kind of part of the scheme, and was by the time we got to the end of the spring and throughout fall camp, he's just been at the point where I have my list that, you know, when I'm going through, I'm like, I want to watch these four guys today, and I'm really focus in and see what they're doing. He's one of those guys that I never put on my list because I'm not worried. And he's going to do his thing. He's going to take care of his out of the field, and we're going to be fine. So a lot of optimism there.
Yeah. And corner is one of those positions, like we, you know, I joked about this with long snapper on the last episode, but corner is a position, particularly playing this style of defense, where forgetting that they're there can be a great thing. Like, it's kind of like offensive line in that sense, because playing in this style of defense, sometimes if I forget about you, it means that you've locked down your guy and the quarterback just isn't even throwing your way. you know, definitely not making any player comps here, but, you know, you think about when Darrell Revis was at his height for the Jets and Revis Island and all that.
Does he have any eligibility left?
We'll see. You know, I don't know. I don't remember. God, I don't even remember where Darrell Revis went to school. But
we should probably know that.
Yeah, just guessing off the top of my head, I doubt he used up all of his years of eligibility. I don't know if, you know, the many dozens of millions of dollars that he made in the NFL have any effect on that. But, you know, we can look into that.
Looks like University of Pittsburgh, first round pick. There you go. That would not have been my first guess. Not Rice, though. There,
never
would have
thought to
facts.
Put it in.
Yeah. So you need some bar trivia. We got you covered. So no Darrell Revis on the defense this year. But lining up, speaking of, you know, NFL comps and athletic players, I'm not going to call D'Angelo Ellis Darrell Revis, but he is one of those guys that just from a pure athleticism and speed and quickness and vertical ability, he's near the top in most of those metrics on the defense and really the team as a whole. We were talking about what he did over Greedy Williams, and that's a second round pick in the NFL last year on the offensive side of the ball. He has the raw talent. We just haven't been able to see him healthy. So he's a redshirt junior and he's been here longer than most of the guys on the team, but we didn't see him till what was his first game last year, maybe Louisiana Tech, something like that. He only took a handful of games at the end of the season because he wasn't healthy. And so that's been his knock. And so he was actually, you know, coming into spring, he was telling folks that he was nervous when Rice suited up to go play the spring game because he'd never finished a spring healthy in his college football career. Yeah. And so, which is a bit jarring to be at that point, but he got through spring ball healthy and he's been, you know, there's been some guys bumped and bruises throughout fall camp, but he's been fine, no concern. So he is as healthy as he's been, and we've actually got to see him start with the ones and work through with that scheme for months now. And so he's at the point where he can put that athleticism and that head knowledge into practice. And so we really haven't seen it. We haven't seen it at all, really, in this defense at corner. So it's kind of an open question mark. But then again, if you're going to ask somebody who hasn't really done it in this defense to do it, you're going to want to find the most athletic guy you have. In that respect, he technically is technically sound and can do everything that's asked of him. We just have to go see him go out and prove it on the field.
All right. And then maybe if, you know, hopefully these guys play well enough, but, you know, health is never a guarantee. And, you know, who knows what we're going to see in terms of level of play. So, you know, if there are other corners that get in there, maybe, you know, hey, let's be optimistic here. Maybe it's a guy who plays really well and shows that really well. And so they feel more comfortable maybe in some of the dime packages of getting another corner on the field. If another corner sees the field in meaningful action this year, who are some guesses as to who that might be?
So because of the way to what these guys are asked to do at the very, very beginning of the season through non-conference play, it's going to be very hard for a true freshman to play any sort of meaningful snaps. So Jason White is kind of the guy who did a lot of the, you know, the nickel duty and that extra corner last year. And so he'll be on the mix and he'll play and kind of be that slot guy that they can move around a couple places. Colin Whitaker started against LSU, played pretty well, had some moments last year. He'll be another guy that's in the mix. I think if we're talking bigger picture and looking down the road, staff is really excited about two freshmen that they brought in, Josh Landrum from Cedar Hill and Treshawn DeVones. And then I'll add a little bit on Treshawn DeVones. When Rice had their team media day a couple weekends ago, you know, I kind of asked Bloom, who hates to name names and single anybody out. I said, single some people out for me and tell me what freshmen have stood out to you and have particularly impressed. And he mentioned Treshawn DeVones in the secondary. So he was a guy that was teammate of DeBraylon Carroll at Duncanville and had actually committed to play elsewhere and had a scholarship situation. Something fell through and he ended up without a team in May. And so once Rice mm-hmm. saw that someone that talented was available, they said, will you please come to South Maine? And so he showed up and has been here. And so far, he's been one of the guys that has been, his stock is skyrocketing. And we're looking at a guy who has, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, measurables of what you want in a corner, he's the guy that's 6 foot, 6'1", 165, 170, has a bit more, you know, and he's still raw, can add some muscle in that size and be more one of your stereotypical lockdown corners, that kind of body type.
All right. Well, I think that does it for our breakdown of the defensive depth chart. We can now, we can wrap up by giving maybe an expected defensive MVP and then, you know, either a sleeper or a newcomer to watch. Since you're the guy that's at practice and talking to coaches, I will snatch up the easy ones from you again and go with Blaze Aldridge as the MVP. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And then DeBraylon Carroll as a newcomer or sleeper.
You had to really, really dig deep in the barrel for those two, didn't you?
And a lot of thought, just so much. I agonize. I all day long I was going back and forth on those picks.
Yeah, well, I'll give you credit for those. And then if I'm going to go pick mine, I think George Nyquil for defensive MVP is one of those guys that doesn't get enough credit for what he does. So we'll go with him. And then as far as sleeper guys, I'm going to go with the scariest guy off the bus in Isaiah Floyd. So anyone that can bench press me 100 times, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. So those two would be my picks, Nyquil and Isaiah Floyd.
Yeah, not that I'm a particularly strong guy, but I don't think all three of my major lifts put together can equal one of the lightest of Isaiah Floyd's. So
I don't think most gyms have enough of those barbell or the weights to slide onto the bar for him to lift. He might just go out to the parking lot and stop picking up cars.
Well, I can tell you that the Hans Straub, the head strength coach, is not going to let him, you know, if he squatted or deadlifted like 700 pounds in high school, they're not going to let him do that in a college weight room, because that's a lot more actual strength than you need. And if he tries to go above that, they're going to be like, nope, no way.
Yeah, and I think what I'm most excited for him, because he has, if there is a quantity of strength that you need to play defensive line, he has it. And so really, and what's been most impressive so far, I think we've seen with everyone, you know, kind of closing on a tangent with Hans Straub and the weight room, and what they've done there is teaching guys functional strength and really getting folks tuned in to have the strengths and the kind of finite skills that they need on a positional basis. You know, where does a quarterback need to work out, and what does that workout package look like? And it looks a lot different than what Isaiah is doing on the defensive line, and being able to get those guys strong enough, you know, from a injury and a maintenance standpoint, and then just explosive enough to take whatever ability they have and take it to the next level. So I think, you know, the new strength coach, you know, we talk about off-season storylines. That's kind of one of the ones that's just kind of a gimme of like, oh my gosh, they got this guy. But, you know, Mike Bloomgren has said that he's the most important person on the staff because of what he does in the weight room. And then he's also the guy, you know, there are also all sorts of limitations to what time coaches can spend with players and practice times. But the weight room is a lot more lenient and open. So he's the kind of guy that when the coaches were away in June and July doing recruiting and you know, taking vacation and resting for 30 seconds, Straub was with them all day. And so he's one of those guys that's been pouring into people, and his impacts you've started to see last year, and you're going to see, you know, give him 3 months, 4 months with Isaiah Floyd, and that is going to be terrifying.
Yeah, no, I think if you asked all the FBS football coaches around the country who the most important guy on their staff is, I think a lot of them would give you this head strength coach for exactly the reasons you just named.
Which is amazing, because how many people can name their own school's head strength coach?
You know, the one for my other school has a bit of a reputation. So I think most Alabama fans know Scott Cochran's name. But yeah, if you want to really get in, you know, prove your true fandom for your school, learn the strength coach's name because he's an important guy. Well, all right. I think that does it for us this week. Thanks so much for sticking with us through this breakdown. We will be back next week to wrap up the last little bits of fall practice, and it'll be game week, and we'll have a real opponent to talk about. Now just, 11 days until Rice kicks off again. Well, 11 days as of this recording. I just gave away, a little peek behind the curtain there.
Trade secrets.
Yeah. But just over a week until Rice kicks off the season against Army, all the way up in New York. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll see y'all next week, and Rice fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.